This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisin and Noel Lim. 7:06 a.m, Wednesday the 10th of March, and in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with political scientist Wong Chin Huat on Pakatan Harapan's chances of winning GE15. But before that, we are taking a look at the latest in the markets.
Right, so in the US, the Dow closed up 0.1%, S&P 500 closed up 1.4%, and the Nasdaq closed up 3.7%. I think the biggest jump since November, led by Tesla, which rallied by 20%. I guess punters will be extremely happy to hear about this.
The question is, though, is this a dead cat bounce, or, you know, with people buying the dip and all of that? Or is this a sustained rally? Is tech back in vogue? We'll have to wait and see, right? Because at the end of the day, no one can really tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. We're all just observing what's going on. We're all along for the ride.
It's a roller coaster.
But Tesla up 15-20% annual on that part?
Right, yeah.
And then Apple, actually strong moves across the board. I saw, I have a bad habit of looking at the stock market when I wake up in the morning, and I saw accounts like Zoom up 10%, and a few of the cyclical plays were in the red over in the US. So this is an interesting time. It's a very scary time, I have to say, as an investor myself. You're just constantly looking at what's going on and wondering, what should I do next? But I guess that's why we study and learn, right?
We do indeed. And actually, you know, a bit of interesting tech news yesterday out of Microsoft. Microsoft came out to say that they'd closed a $7.5 billion cash acquisition of ZeniMax. So this is the parent company of video game publisher Bethesda. So they announced that this is the biggest gaming acquisition in Microsoft's history, eclipsing a previous deal to buy the Minecraft developer Mojang in 2014.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. It lends into, one, Microsoft's appetite for inorganic growth, but also the gaming wars. It's there, right? Sony has more exclusives with this purchase of Bethesda. Microsoft will now be able to make games like Fallout, Elder Scrolls, and Doom, the Doom franchise, exclusive to Windows and Microsoft and the Xbox, which might give it an edge in terms of how consumers pick their consoles going forward, because the consoles have come so far. It's very hard to, I guess, individually pick. And last year, we saw the Spider-Man game franchise really boost Sony's prospects in the game market. So this could be an interesting thing to watch and see play into Xbox numbers.
Absolutely. But just returning to markets as well this morning, in Asia, it was mostly a green day. The Nikkei was up 1%. The Hang Seng was up 0.8%. Singapore's STI was up 1.2%. The only counter in the red was Shanghai's composite, down 1.8%. And of course, our own KLCI was up in the green, 0.8%. So this morning, we are, for some insight into international markets, we're speaking with Jeffrey Halley, a senior market analyst at Owanda. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Jeff. Now, what happened last night with the Nasdaq jumping 3.7%, ending 5 days of consecutive losses? What do you think? Is big tech back, or is this a dead cat bounce?
I think the schizophrenic sort of headless chicken behavior we're seeing in a number of markets at the moment is indicative of a market that is lacking conviction. So, you know, it's chasing its tail everywhere. When you look at the NASDAQ chart, it has staged a large downside breakout. And that line goes back to March 2020, which were the lows, of course, which I think is significant. And even the rally overnight hasn't brought us back close to that line. So for me, the jury's still out. I think there's still more pain to the downside. We had a 3-year bond option that went quite well last night, but we have a 10 and a 30-year one to come today and tomorrow, and those are the real key ones. And if the bid to cover ratio at those US options tonight and tomorrow are poor, we're going to see US yields jump again, and we're going to see stocks move lower.
Right. And with all this going on, Jeff, we've seen how do you think the infatuation with specs is a lasting situation, especially with yield concerns coming up now? Are specs actually going to break investors' hearts as well as their bank accounts?
You know, in the markets, if there's something too good to be true, it always ends up being too good to be true. And you know, these special purpose acquisition companies, they're competing with private equity, venture capitalists, and other companies looking to buy other companies. All of these companies, these SPACs, are listing to buy companies. But I think the thesis was during March 2020, in the height of the pandemic, there were lots of undervalued companies to buy. Now the challenge is finding companies to buy with these valuations at these levels. There's some very, very juicy fees that get paid out to the management as well. So my guess is that they will win, but maybe investors won't have such a great time with it.
Well, speaking of another asset, now Chinese companies like Meitu are jumping on the crypto bandwagon. Is this going to be a trend where companies will start to accumulate cryptocurrencies?
Well, I think in China's case, it's a bit more challenging because they've made quite clear their disquiet about that, and they're probably going to run straight into the People's Bank of China digital currency at some stage as well. I have some challenges with the thinking behind it. Meitu's saying it's because they want to get more involved with offering blockchain-based products. And Ethereum, for example, which they bought millions of, has an open blockchain and you can develop apps for it. But that's no reason to actually go buy millions and millions of Ethereum. All of these companies buying are natural shorts. If they get paid for their products and cryptos, you know, they're a natural short. So why do they need to be massively long? So I have some very, very strong doubts about their reasonings behind this. And I think this is more of a punt by the board rather than having any sound underlying reasoning.
So, Jeff, let's also talk about this cyclical rotation that we're seeing. Travel and tourism are large contributors to GDP growth here in ASEAN. So with that cyclical rotation appearing to gain momentum, when do you think this sector will start benefiting?
Yeah, I think travel and tourism, I mean, the stocks could certainly move sooner than the actual numbers of tourists arriving at the airports and heading off to resorts and such like. You know, I think they're still quite speculative, and particularly airline stocks are going to be in the naughty corner for a very, very long time. there won't be enough simulators in the world to actually requalify all the pilots when they bring them back. You've got to get all the planes out of storage. I mean, the logistics behind restarting airline travel was mind-boggling. So there'll be huge delays in that side of things anyway. Yeah, we're going to need to see some critical mass of vaccinations in developed countries because obviously they're getting all the vaccines first and have more money. And then we're going to need vaccine passports. You'll need a vaccine passport at the airport. You'll need one to book a hotel, to book a flight. But until we see this critical mass of people being allowed to travel, I think those sectors will remain challenged. I'm sort of thinking more to the middle of the second half of the year. So, you know, I think around sort of the September level time this year is when we're going to see some momentum start picking up in that area.
What is critical mass of vaccinations to you, Jeff?
You know, there's a lot of different ideas about this. They're saying herd immunity is 60-70%, but, you know, given the amount of infections that are out and that have probably occurred in the populations already in places like the US, for example, or Indonesia, etc., I suspect they probably only need to get 30-40% of those people over the line before we start seeing some movement there. So that's where I'm looking at. I mean, the data or the research I'm seeing is that some countries have had such high infection rates that they won't need to vaccinate 60-70% of their populations. But you know, for countries such as Malaysia and Singapore that have been rather more successful in managing it, I think that number is going to be higher. You're going to be looking at sort of at least 50-60% of the population before we start seeing those numbers appearing.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Jeff. That was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst at Owanda, giving us some insight into what's been happening in international markets. Right now, we're about to head into some messages, and then up next, Pakatan Harapan's chances of winning GE15. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.